Okay, we're looking at the Sefer HaChinuch on Sfiras Omer, that's Mitzvah Shin Vav, Mishar Sheha Mitzvah. As you know, the Sefer HaChinuch is famous for trying to dig deep down into a mitzvah and come up with a meaning for the mitzvah, what he calls the Shoresh HaMitzvah, the root of the mitzvah, the purpose of the mitzvah. And he writes, Lefisha Kol Ikaron Shel Yisrael Eino Ela HaTorah. Our whole essence as a people, as a nation, is the Torah. Umipnei HaTorah Nivru Shamayim Va'aretz V'Yisrael. The goal of all of creation is the Torah. Im Lo Barisi Yoma V'Layla Chuka Shamayim Va'aretz Lo Samti V'Hi Ikar V'Asiba Shenigalu V'Yotzu Mimitzrayim Kedei Sheikablu HaTorah V'Sina V'Kaibua. So the purpose and the goal of all, this is what we call the teleological purpose of creation, is, as Moshe Rabbeinu was told at the snare, Zelcha os ki anochi shlachticha botziacha sa'om imitzrayim tavdunas alukim ala harazeh. And tavdunas alukim ala harazeh is referring, of course, to Har Chorev, where Klal Yisrael would receive the Torah. And skipping down to the next paragraph, umifnei chen, Kihi kol ikarn she Yisrael ubavura nigalu violu lechol agdula shalu eleho nitztavinu limnos mimachras yom tov shal pesach ad yom nesinas haTorah. And here's the punchline. Why are we counting from the day after Pesach, after the beginning of the Chag, until the day of nesinas haTorah? Laharos binafshenu. This is both a demonstration of what's in our heart, and at the same time, it's an education that we should feel in our heart. Ha-chefetz ha-gadol, our tremendous yearning and desire. El hayom ha-nichbad ha-nichsaf lilibenu, that great day, that glorious day, which we desire so much. Ke'eved yishaf tzel, it's like a servant who desires freedom. He's literally counting down the days. It's like a person's in jail, Rachman al-Utsan. So he knows he's going to get out in X number of days. He's just counting the days until he's his freedom. Ki aminyan, the counting, mare la'odom, it teaches man, ki kol yishov kol cheftzo la'gil azmanahu. And this is what we try to instill and penetrate into our hearts, this tremendous yearning for the purpose of everything, and that is the day of Matan Torah. V'zeu shanu monim la'omer, klomer kach v'kach yomim avru min aminyan. So many and so many days have passed in the counting. You know, we've already got 31 days behind us. V'einanu monim kach v'kach yomim yesh lanu l'zman. Here the chinuch asks himself a question, and in the next paragraph he's going to expand on this question. What we should really be doing is not counting the days that have passed, but how many days do we have left until we reach this glorious day that we're yearning for of Matan Torah? He says, if you skip down to the next paragraph, Yal Yiksha Olecha Lomar and Kane, Acharsha Avru Rov Hayom Shal Shiva Shavu Seilu, Lomar and Ask him, Mir Hayom and Nisharim? Okay, so I apologize, I skipped the end of the previous paragraph, which I shouldn't have done. He says, "V'einanu monim kach v'kach yomim yesh lanu lizman." We don't count. Well, we only have, let's say, 28 days left to count. Ki kol ze mare bonu harotzan achosik lagil azman. We really should be counting down how many days we have left. But v'alkein lo nirtze. The reason why we don't want to do that is because at the Tchilas Cheshbonen, when we begin the counting, we would have to say that there's 48 days left, and Ribui Ayom Shesh Lanu Lagil Karbon, we don't want to emphasize, and it's a little bit despairing for us that we have such a long way to go until we reach that glorious day that we're waiting for. But in V'yal Yiksha Lecha Lomar in Cain, if that's the logic, because we don't want to emphasize how many days we have left, is achar sha'ovru rov hayomim shal shiva. So once we pass the halfway mark, maybe we should make a switch at that point. Lomalo nazkir mir hayom manisharim. Oh, we only have 28 days left till Chag Matan Torah Seinu. And that's a really good question. So again, we should have started by counting down 49 days left, only 48 days left, only 47 days left. But that gives us a little sense of despair because it's such a long period of time. But when we cross the middle point, that's when at least we should shift over to counting how many days we have left because it's only miut hayomim left. So the answer is lefisha ein l'shanos matbea hacheshbon b'emtzo'o. You know, to make a switch in the whole structure of the sphera, that we don't want to do in the middle of the sphera. I would like to comment before we see the Ramban that the Sefer Chinuch leaves us wanting a little bit on two counts. Number one, it seems a little bit strange to count down to the days that the Torah is going to be given to us, because we know we have the Torah. The Torah was already given to us. That's a done deal, Baruch Hashem. So, in a sense, when we celebrate Chag HaShavuos, that's a day of Simcha because we've already received the Torah. How lucky we are that Hashem chose us and gave us the Torah. So, since we've already received the Torah and the Torah is in our hands, and she's in our hands the whole year round, it seems a little bit odd that we should be counting down our anxious, you know, countdown to receive the Torah. We have the Torah, we're constantly learning the Torah. And number two, it seems a little bit strange, the Chinuch's answer, why we're not counting how many days we have left, because at the end, you know, after we hear the Svara of the Sefer Chinuch, it seems a little bit strange that we are demonstrating our yearning through a counting, but the way we count and the tzura, you know, the approach to the counting does not really reflect that yearning for the day. You know, to say how many days have passed, doesn't it all, you know, have passed in the Omer, doesn't, you know, we're talking about Pesach, and we're saying, well, 31 days have passed since Pesach. That's a very strange demonstration of our yearning for Yom Matan Torah. Because in effect, the way the sphera is structured, the way we count, it's really linking us back to the past, meaning to Yom HaPesach, not to the future, not the countdown for Chag Matan Torah Seinum. So again, just to reiterate, I want to give, you know, more credit to the Ramban, to reiterate my reservations regarding the Sefer Chinuch and his position is, number one, the countdown to the day of giving the Torah seems a little bit psychologically odd in the sense that we're sort of making believe we didn't receive the Torah, but yet, every day of our lives, we are celebrating with the Torah, learning the Torah. And that's exactly what Matan Torah is. That's exactly what Chag HaShavuos is, to celebrate the Yom Matan Torah. And also the way we count, as we said before, is a little bit odd. Yeah, please. Right. And as I say, this is a very famous Sefer Chinuch, but, you know, it appeals on one level to us. You know, this idea of a love relationship and counting those days, you know, the weeks and the days till we have the rendezvous. You know, there is something to it. I don't want to, Chas Shalom, tell you that this Sefer Chinuch hasn't captured the hearts of many, 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 many Jews throughout the centuries. But I do want to see Sefiras HaOmer in a different light, because again, I want to emphasize not so much the anticipation of Yom Matan Torah Seinu, but the counting of how many days have passed since Chag HaPesach, and that aspect of the sphere, I think, will come through B'Divrei HaRamban. And I have for you on the page here the Ramban in Parshas Emor, this week's Parsha, here in Chutz Laaretz at least, and the Rabbeinu Bachai, of course, as a Talmud of the Ramban, in a sense expanding and illuminating the words of the Ramban. Yeah, I understand. I understand what you're saying. It's a new Kabbalah every year, but... Right. But it's a new Kabbalah every year, and that certainly is the way that the Sefer Chinuch would like us to see it. You know, as Chazal say, "B'chol yom v'yom, yu beinecha kechadoshim." But at the same time, you know, psychologically, can we say that the Sefira is really indicating, wow, I can't wait till I get the Torah, when at this very moment I'm receiving the Torah. The concept of Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai is not something that relates to one particular moment in time. It's an ongoing experience every day, and it's not related to one day of the year. Again, I would like to, that was just the background. Let's get to the, you know, to the Guf HaDvarim, because I want to see in the Ramban a different approach. Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. As we always say. The Ramban's comment is addended to the pasuk Shivas Yomim Takrivu Ishe Lashem Bayom Hashmini Mikra Kodesh. This pasuk is referring to which holiday? To Sukkot, correct? And until we get to the eighth day, what's the eighth day of Sukkot? Shmini Atzeres, Atzeresu Kol Melacha Melech Savod Lo Sasu. And the Ramban quotes Rashi to explain the meaning of the word Atzeres on a hashkafic level, I guess, as Divrei Agada. And the Ramban's approach, and Rashi's approach is, let me just get my pages here, of course, since I moved from upstairs to downstairs, I sort of lost a little bit in the transition here. hold on a second, where am I? We're in Chaf Gimel, right? Okay. I'm not finding it right now. Anyway, the Ramban begins by quoting a Medrash, which Rashi quotes, Atzarti eschem lefonai, which means that God declares, I'm holding you back. This is what God is saying to Bnei Yisrael. Kimelech shezimein es bonov l'se'uda, right? The king invites his children to a glorious banquet. Lekach v'kach yomim, but time flies, you know, especially when you're having fun. So what happens at the end? At the end of the number of days, unfortunately, it's a little bit sad, the time has come for everyone to depart. Omar, the king, declares, "Bevakoshim imchem, ikfu imi od yom echad, shekoshe laipre daschem." Please stay on with me. It's very difficult to say goodbye. One more day. We were all familiar with this Divrei Agada b'Vayikra Rabbah, and the word again atzeres means to hold back someone, right? And in this case, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, so to speak, keeping us back. I mean, obviously for good reasons. The Ramban now offers a pshat. This is al derech ha'emes. I'm not going to claim that I understand all of it, but there's one nekuda here, and we've touched on this in the past, that I think is very, very crucial, and it sheds a new light on what Sefiras Omer is about. He says, Sheshes yomim os ha-shemes ha-shamayim ves-ha-oretz, v'yom ha-shvi hu shabos, v'elo ben-zug, u'kneses Yisrael hi bas-zugo shenemar ves-ha-oretz, v'hine hi shminis. So the number seven reflects or refers back to the 7 days of creation. The seventh, of course, is Shabbos. And the eighth is a close relationship, an intimacy between the Shabbos and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Knesset Yisrael is the Bat Zug of Shabbos. So if Shabbos represents the Gilui Shechina, then the Melech wants to link up with his Bat Zug. And in essence, the number eight here represents that, if you can call it a culmination of that relationship between Knesset Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And here the Ramban reinterprets the word atzeres. It's not the way Rashi would have it, the restraining order, but rather atzeres ki shom netzar hakol. Netzar means everything gathers together and forms one. V'tzivanu b'chag ha-matzos shivas yomim b'kedusha lifneim u'lachreihem. And in the case of chag ha-matzos, which is paralleling now to chag ha-shvuos, we're going to have, number one, the 7 days of Chag HaMatzos, which has a kedusha at the very beginning and at the end, ki kulam kedoshim v'tocham Hashem, u'mana mimenu memtes yom v'ashvuos ki mei olam. Again, the shvua here represents number seven, and the seven cycles of seven represent the creation of the world. And then v'kidesh yom hashmini, and it's parallel to Kishmini Shal Chag, like the eighth day of Chag HaSukkos. So what does the Ramban refer to when he says V'kidesh Yom HaShmini? Shavuos, correct? Which we call Atzeres, but the Torah doesn't call it Atzeres. The basis, the source for Chachamim calling Atzeres, according to the Ramban, is this Medrash, this concept, that Atzeres is the number eight, that links up the 7 days that came before it to the eighth day. Which again alludes to the 7 days of creation with the eighth, which represents Knesset Yisrael. And the Ramban says, Vayomim hasfurim beintayim. If you might ask me, well, if Atzeres, or Chag HaShavuos as we call it, or as the Torah calls it, is the eighth day, it's the last day following Chag HaMatzah. So what's going on? Why isn't it celebrated exactly then? 7 days after Chag HaMatzah, the eighth day. Vayomim asfurim beitayim kechulo shel moed. So it's interesting. On the one hand, Chag HaMatzah and Chag HaShavuos are two separate holidays. But on the other hand, they're connected by Yomim Svurim, the counted days, which form as a bridge, and the Ramban defines that bridge as Chol Shel Moed, Bein Arishon Vashmini Bechag. So you've got a counting of 49 days, which are days of Chol Moed, that are leading us from Chag HaMatzos until the culmination, which is Vehu Yom Matan Torah. So what are we linking now with the Sfira? Pesach, Chag HaMatzos, to Yom Matan Torah. And it's really all one unit. It's one entity. And the bridge between them is the days of Sfira, which the Ramban defines as Chol Shel Moed. And he repeats himself. He says, Sheheram Boaz, Isha Agdola, Udvarav Shamu Mitoch HaEish, Ulekach Yikru, Chachameinu b'chol mokum Chag HaShavuos Atzeres, ki hu ki yom shmini shal chag shekaro akosuv kein. So it means that we have an exact parallel here between shmini Atzeres, culminating Chag HaSukkos, and shmini, which is the Atzeres of Chag HaMatzos, like the Atzeres of Chag HaSukkos, with a Chol HaMoed period in the middle, which is Sfira Sa'om. No, because we're waiting for the Korban of Shteil Lechem. We've brought the Omer, and the connection between the Omer of Pesach and the Shteil Lechem of Chag HaShavuos is represented by a connection, a bridge, that's the Sfira Sa'omer. But all those days represent Chol Shel Moed. It means that the Moed of Pesach has not yet culminated, it's not yet terminated. And I want to point out to you that there's another Ramban, which I don't think I have on your page, that also gives us the same connection between, as that the Omer connects us to Chag HaShavuos. And this is the Ramban in Perek Chav Gimel, Pasuk Tezvav. The Ramban there, in Perek Chav Gimel, Pasuk Tezvav, in Pasuk Yud, I made a mistake. He's addressing the issue that before each one of the Regolim, it says, Vayidabra Hashem el Moshe lemar daber el bnei Yisrael. And why does the Torah repeat that over and over again? Says Ramban, Bavur sheyichadish kan b'chol echad min ha-moed in mitzvah chadosha. Every moed engenders its own mitzvah. And therefore, tisyachek b'chol moed parsha b'fnei atzma sheyazir bo Daber al Bnei Yisrael, because of the unique mitzvahs engendered by each one of the Moedim, the Torah separates each Moed as an independent parsha by introducing the parsha with the words Daber al Bnei Yisrael. When we get to Chag HaShavuos, the Ramban notices that you don't find Daber al Bnei Yisrael right before the Chag HaShavuos, which is the 50th day, but rather you find it in Pasuk Yud as the introduction to the mitzvah of Omer. Says the Ramban, why doesn't the Torah slice the connection between the Omer Parsha, which begins with Vaydaber Hashem Moshe Leymar, and the mitzvah and the parsha of Chag HaShavuos? There's no separation. Says the Ramban, Mipnei Shechag HaShavuos Zmano Toli V'Omer. Is therefore, says Ran, Omer HaKol B'Parsha Achas. In other words, Shavuos depends upon the Omer. So again, in both cases, the Ramban that we started with before, in Pasuk Lamed Vav, and here the Ramban way before it in Pasuk Yud, he's got the Omer, whether it's the Karbon Omer or the counting of the Omer, as the bridge to Chag HaShavuos. And the question that begs itself, but I think there's such a simple yet fundamental answer to this question, is why do we need a bridge between Chag HaMatzos, Chag HaPesach, and Chag HaShavuos? It's no longer the way the Chinuch would have it, that we're counting towards Kabbal Satorah. Now what we're doing, I think, according to the Ramban, if I'm correct, is we're creating a relationship between Chag HaPesach and Chag HaShavuos. The bridge that links the two, the chain, is going to be the Omer. And why is that so? Now, if you take a look in Rabbeinu Bachai, he too emphasizes, based on the Ramban, this concept. And he writes, Kfar yadata shein asfir lo memtes, al kein timtza tam b'milos tisperu, amal chamishim dovek. Okay, this is the part that I wanted to emphasize with you is coming a little bit later. He says, Shelo hizkira Torah chag shvuos b'yichud. The Torah doesn't designate a separate parasha for Chag HaShavuos, Kishar Chagim, as it did with regard to Pesach and Sukkot, but rather B'chodesh HaShlishi B'Shishi Bo Chag HaShavuos. So that we don't find. But rather what we find is the counting of the Omer, Bolo Lamed Kihu Chag Nigrar Achar Mitzvahs Omer. That the Chag itself is connected back to the mitzvah of the Omer. So again, the same idea that the Omer is meant to connect Shavuos back to Pesach. And I think there's a very fundamental idea here that should be emphasized, that the Sefiras HaOmer is going to demonstrate the relationship between Pesach and Shavuos. Pesach, obviously, the holiday that commemorates Yetzias Lecherus. And yet, it doesn't stand on its own. It's not independent. Perhaps we could say it's not complete. It needs something to complete it, and that's going to be Chag HaShavuos. The Sefira is going to tell us a very important thing. That, okay, we were redeemed, we are no longer slaves, but that in and of itself is not the be-all and the end-all. We have to realize that Chag HaMatzos, Chag HaCherus, is incomplete. It's hanging in the air. It only completes itself with Matan Torah, with Chag HaShavuos. So we're going to count day after day following Pesach in order to drag along the Chag HaPesach. Is that clear? It's hard over a phone, so I'm just, am I getting my point across? So again, as opposed to the Sefer HaChinuch, who sees the goal of Sefira as a countdown to Matan Torah, I believe that in the Ramban's frame of reference, the goal of the sphere and its purpose is to tell us a very important message, that we can't leave Chag HaPesach unto itself. If you commemorate redemption and the termination of slavery as an end and a be-all, then you're missing the point. We haven't yet reached the culmination of Chag HaMatzos. Chag HaMatzos, redemption, Cheres itself, is the Torah. Without the Torah, we're not B'nai Chorin. Mi'u ben Chorin, Zeshi Osek B'Torah. Pesach only becomes complete with Chag Matan Torah. Okay, let me continue on, because, as I said, I would like to cover the Netziv in his introduction to Sefer Shmos. This is a very, very famous Netziv. And he quotes the Bahag. The Bahag had a different name to the second of the five books of Moses. He says, Zah Sefer Abenu Bahag Besof Sifra HaKadosh Yikre'eu Sefer Sheni. Every single one of the Chumashim, with the exception of one, has a name to itself. This one does not. Now I'm going to read from the Netziv in his Akdama. I'm pretty sure that I was able to get most of it on your page, not all of it. And he writes the following. That according to the Bracious Rabbah, Vayehi Ar, the Pasuk Vayehi Ar, is Keneged Sefer Shmos. The Ramban, at the end of his commentary on Shmos, calls it Sefer Geula. And the Bahag is the only one who doesn't have a name for Sefer Shmos. Zulas Rabbeinu Bahag B'Sof Sifra, etc., etc., as we saw, Tekachashim Chamishe Chumshe Torah, the Bahag enumerates the five names of the five books, Sefer Bracious, Chumash Sheni, Sefer Kohanim, Chumash Pekudim, HaPekudim, U'Mishneh Torah. And the Netziv finds a source for the Bahag in a Gemara in Sota, Daf Lamed Vavam in Beis, and there the Gemara calls the second book Chumash HaSheni. Then the Netziv says we derive a very, very important idea, a very important lesson from the Bahag. He says, Lo b'chinam shinu Hashem b'zeh sefer. V'hoyo l'raboseinu l'kro kulam l'chor, at the face of it, you would have said that each one should be called first, second, third. Or, the second one should be called Shmos, with its own unique name like all the other four. Oh, Allah Inyan Amasuyim Shabo, what you want, you can call it Sefer Yitzis Mitzrayim, or Matan Torah. Just like in the case of Sefer Bamidbar, it's called Sefer HaPkudim, according to the Bahag. Ella says the Netziv, Balalam Deinu, Dezeh HaSefer B'Yichud, Husheni L'Sefer Reishis HaBriya. What's unique, if you want to define the character of the second of the five books, is that it's the second to Bria, to the book of Bracious HaBriya. Bracious is the story of creation. And Shmos is part and parcel of that story of creation. Ki hu chelik sheni mizeh sefer. It's part two of Bracious. Hainu, bo nigmar seder HaBriya. There's an entire Seder HaBriya, a whole sequence of events that represent the creation process. And the culmination of that creation process, of the Seder HaBriya as he calls it, is incorporated in Shmos, which is called now the Sefer HaSheni, because that's its essence, as the culmination of Seder HaBriya. Why so? In what sense is Sefer Shmos the culmination of the creation? He says, Kemamoram Zal, Bereishis, Bishvil Yisrael Shenikru Reishis. That the goal of creation and its purpose is Yisrael. Pirish Tachlis Ha'olam Bechlal, Hushiehei Uma Achas, Chelek Hashem Amo, V'zelo nishlam ad sheyotzu Yisrael Mitzrayim ubo l'tachlisam sheyu l'tzura acheres. This all reached its final tachlis, its final goal, when the people of Israel became a new tzura. And we'll understand that in just another line. B'meshe kiblu aleim ol toru mitzvos. How did this nation take upon itself its unique form when they accepted Torah mitzvos? Ubazeh nichal hatachlis yiruyim lios or lagoyim, the purpose of the Jewish people to be a light unto the nations. I'm skipping a little bit. He says, v'zeu tachlis abriya shenivra lichvodo yisparach. He quotes a pasuk in Yeshaya, "Kol nikra b'shmi lichvodi barasiv." Nimtza, he says in summary, the Yetzias Mitzrayim, Matan Torah, is the Gmar Habria. Kimavur od b'Bereishis Rabbah, as it also says in Bereishis Rabbah, Bereishis b'zchus haTorah shenikras Reishis. V'hainu k'niisa v'avodas kochovim daf gimel v'yerev v'yvoki yomashishi melamed shehisna kodesh baruch hu ma'isa b'reishis im mekablam Yisrael sa Torah mutav v'im lav ani achzir eschem l'tov v'vo nimtza dematan Torah hu gmar habriya. There's a fantastic idea here which the Netziv explains based on the Bahag and the name that the Bahag gives, assigns to Sefer Shmos, as we call it, namely Sefer Hasheni, that the Bria itself, the creation itself, is not complete until the Torah is accepted by Klal Yisrael. And once again, I think we're seeing a phenomenal idea here about, you know, these are days in which we prepare ourselves to understand and appreciate the Torah that was given to us. We have to understand that the Torah really represents the apex. And at the beginning of this introduction, the Netziv quotes a Medrash, Vayehi Ar, which equate, because Chazal point out that it says in the Pasuk, Yehi Ar, which means that God commands the creation of the light, that's in Lashon Asid, Yehi Ar, and then it says, Vayehi Ar. When did that light actually come into existence? And the Medrash relates that to the second of the five books, which contains within it, in its essence, the giving of the Torah to Klal Yisrael. That's the Vayehi Ar. That's the Ar, which is always an allusion, whenever you see the word Ar, to the Torah. That's the true light. And this is what I think the Sefiras HaOmer is all about. To demonstrate that Pesach, unto itself, is not really Cheirus. It's only the beginning of Cheirus. We're still missing, it's still deficient and incomplete until we reach Matan Torah. So the Sefiras HaOmer is going to indicate that our life as B'nai Chorin is not complete without Torah. It's only when we integrate it with Torah, that's when our life, that's when Chaim, that's when our creation and our purpose for creation becomes complete. And that's why I believe there's so much emphasis on Simcha, because the concept of Simcha is when you realize, when you appreciate what it means to achieve your goal. So when we learn Torah, we learn with Simcha. And it's very fascinating that the two karbonos that form the bookends of Sefiras HaOmer, the Omer on Pesach and the Shteil Lechem on Shavuos, the Omer representing Sa'orim, which is Machal Behema, whereas the Korban Shteil Lechem is Chita, which represents Adam and Seichel Adam, man is endowed with intellect. We're really climbing through the days of Sefira from, if you will, the basic level of Behema, of Michael Behema, of barley, all the way to Michael Adam. And we once discussed, and I'd like to reemphasize this, that the Yemei HaSfira have two dimensions to them. And they seem to be mutually exclusive, and yet they coexist. So on the one hand, the Ramban, Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar, calls these days Chol HaMoed. Chol HaMoed means it's part of Yontif. These are days of Simcha. But at the same time, these are days of avelus for the 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva that perished. How did the Chazal take these days of Simcha of Chol HaMoed and superimpose upon them avelus? It's a very odd kind of experience. And if you happen to remember what we discussed that time a few weeks ago, that maybe the message is to temper the simcha. Yeah, on the one hand, we're lifnei Hashem, we're reaching our purpose, we're studying His Torah, we're in these days of Chol HaMoed, but at the same time, approach it with a solemn mental attitude, thoughts about the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, which Chazal say in the Gemara in Yevamos that they died because Shlo Nagu covered Zevazeh. And again, these were Tanoim. I mean, you can't think that they were throwing chairs at one another hurling words of calling them names or something. On their Madrega, because they were so close to Hashem, this is what we spoke about with regard to the Bnei Aaron, if you recall back in Parsha Shmini, that when a person reaches that level, when he's lifnei Hashem, what comes along with that great glorious experience of lifnei Hashem is a certain divine scrutinization. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks carefully at our actions, and kichud hasayra, with regard to tzaddikim, the midas hadin is very powerful. So we have to realize that as much as we are besimcha during these days, we have to understand that shalom nagu kavod zebezeh, that the Torah requires of us a higher ethical level of behavior. And it's very interesting that, we're learning avos now, Moshe kibul Torah misinai. All the mefarshim ask, what's the emphasis on misinai? And the Tiferes Yisrael, in his introduction to Avos, he emphasizes that Sinai is the smallest of the mountains, and Moshe Rabbeinu is the Anav Mikol Adam, and that there's no way of being Zoche in Torah without Midos Tovos, without Niyu Kavod Zebazeh, and Vayichan Yisrael Ki Ishecha B'Levach, and that unity and that caring and that mutual feeling one for the other, that's all so essential as a prerequisite for Torah. And we have to realize that if we're not careful about that, then chas v'shalom, it could lead to tragedy. But getting back to the Netziv for one moment, the Netziv's idea that the Bria, the creation, is only complete with Matan Torah, what I think we're seeing here in this Netziv, by integrating Torah into creation, is perhaps an idea that goes way, way beyond what we ever dreamt of. Many people see Torah and mitzvos as something external to the person. Like the phrase kafalem har kigigis. It's like a kfiya. It's something that coerces us. We beat ourselves. The sledgehammer. Well, we got to do this mitzvah. We open up the shulchan aruch. We got to, be medagdek and do it exactly carefully. And it's like a burden on our shoulders. But I don't think that that's the proper attitude towards mitzvos. The mitzvos are ingrained in the Bria, itself. The Torah and its study should not be seen as something that we're forced to do externally, but rather it represents kihem chayenu, a very vital force of life. The Torah is takel baraisa bar alma. The Torah is the blueprint for the Bria. It's something that we should see not as external to us, not as something that we're coerced to perform, but rather as our very essence, our very nature. And I wanted to share with you, there's a famous Dubna Magid. I can't say I'm a Bucky in the Sefer Ol Yaakov, but I do have a copy of it. In the Ol Yaakov from Parshas Ki Tisei, he talks about Mitzvah Shabbos, and he says something phenomenal. You have to listen carefully. Again, I don't know if in this mode of communication you're able to get all my feeling about this chiddush, but I'll try my best under the circumstances. He writes that Shabbos, what's so unique about Shabbos? He says Ki ha-mitzvos bi-eisa si-yosom v'ki-yumon heim kvedus. Kvedus, I think, means that they're very heavy on us. You know, especially you'll find teenagers that they have such a challenge with regard to mitzvahs that very often they feel it's an onus, it's a burden, it's kaved, it's very heavy. V'einam arevim u'mesukim eloseihem. And unfortunately, he says they're not sweet and pleasant to those who implement the mitzvahs. He writes, kimasim hamafikim kiyum haguf. They don't see the mitzvahs the way they see other actions like eating and drinking, which are pleasant, the purpose of which is to be mekayim the guf. You know, you can't live on this world without eating and drinking, but eating and drinking, because it's so natural, is also at the same time pleasant to us. We enjoy it. He says, "Asher milvad pu'ulasim al kiyum adam odeim arevim u'ne'im lasak ben k'machilu shtiyah v'shein v'tiul." There's so many things that engender good health. You know, we take a good walk on a nice day. And Yair told me that Baruch Hashem, the weather in Canada has improved, and so now we're really ready to go out there and enjoy nature. And we have to sleep, but we enjoy sleeping. This is all when it comes to Chefetz HaGuf. The Roli, and the same exact experience should be fitting. Shegam Masei Avoda, also the actions in which we serve God, which means not the Avodas HaGuf, Chefetz HaGuf, but rather Chefetz HaRuach, Yiyu Begeder Zeh, they should also be the same way. Now, in order to explain why we don't enjoy our mitzvahs with the same tam, with the same gishmak, with the same pleasantness as we do Chefetz HaGuf, he invokes the philosophy of the Rambam here, the Mora Nevuchim, which I found very interesting, you know, to hear the Dubna Magid quoting the Mora. And the Rambam writes, "Ki mitchila kodem achet, kodem shechata adam arishon, haya inyan zeh v'maisei ha-mitzvahs." The same exact thing applied to mitzvahs. Just like when you eat in order to be mekayim your guf, you enjoy it, so too when you do any mitzvah, you enjoy the mitzvah. It's pleasant. Aval nishtanu, but everything changed, misiba zuam asanochash, as a result, and in the wake of the aftermath of the chet of adam arishon. Omnam, here's the chiddush. Hold on to your seats. This is the chiddush of the Dubna Magid. Mitzvah Shabbos, od hi nisheres al tzuras rishona. But Shabbos itself inherently was left alone, untainted by the nachash. V'hainu shemitzvah Shabbos od hi lisaneg b'tanugim lechol v'lishtos v'lilbosh big day kavod ulekabel schar al zeh. And it's not a contradiction. We will be rewarded for the oneg of Shabbos, for the enjoyment of Shabbos. Because the klala, the original curse, which strips the mitzvahs of their pleasantness and their enjoyment, that curse did not impact on Shabbos. Shabbos was left outside of that curse. Vatam, who can guess what the Dud Magid is going to say now? Why is Shabbos different? Does anybody know what day of the week it was? What day of the week it was when Adam Arishon sinned? It was Friday, okay. Yeah, I'm sure you all know that. Just, you're not answering my phone call. But, Ki b'shah shechata Adam Arishon adayin hi, adayin hoya Shabbos rak b'koach, v'lo yotza azel apoa. There was no Shabbos in existence yet. I mean, in potential it was, but not in reality. And he goes on and on and on. It's a beautiful, beautiful piece. And you've all heard of one of the great rabbis from the Yeki community in Washington Heights, Rabbi Schwab. Rabbi Schwab says in the same vein, the pasuk Vayarech Esreach Begadov. Do you remember where that pasuk appears? Vayarech Esreach Begadov. Again, Pasha's told when Yaakov Avinu puts on the begadim and he goes in to get the bracha from Yitzchak, so Yitzchak smells the reach begadov. So Rashi, quoting the Medrash, says Nichnasa imo Gan Eden. There was a reach of Gan Eden. So Rav Schwab says, he quotes his son, Rav Meir Schwab, who says the following, that the mitzvah that we're talking about here in this particular episode is the mitzvah of Kibud Av. And Kibud Av is connected to Reach Gan Eden. What's the connection between Kibud Av and Reach Gan Eden? I don't know if any of you could guess the cheshbon. If somebody's raising their hand, imagine that I'm calling on him. Sheva Eis Chet Eitz Hadas Pogam Adam Arisho B'Tam Kol HaMitzvahs. Tam means the Geshmak in all the mitzvahs. Except for one. I mean, we already had one. But now except for a second. Which mitzvah was not included in that curse that takes us from the moment of that Erev Shabbos of Adam Arishon's first day all the way till Yemos HaMashiach, when everything is going to go back to Kodem Achet. Correct, why not? Why wasn't Kibud Av HaEm as a mitzvah subject to the klala in the aftermath of the sin? Correct, because Adam and Chav had no parents. So he says that the mitzvah Kibud Av HaEm was only bekach but not befall. But Rabosai, all this beautiful cheshbon is wonderful, and I love it, but I think there's something so powerful here about our you know, again, as we approach Kabbalah Satorah and Mitzvos and the culmination of Simcha, you know, we're 2 days away from Lag BaOmer, and what our attitude has to be is we can't wait till to the Simcha of Torah. We can't wait to do mitzvahs. Yeah, you know, the Gemara says in Makkos about Moshe Rabbeinu, Ov Kesev Lo Yispar Kesev, Ov Mitzvahs Lo Yispar Kesev. The mitzvahs are so pleasant to us. Chas v'shalom to take the attitude, well, yeah, I got to do the mitzvahs. There's a sledgehammer over me. You know, that's my attitude. Kofen Osach Yom Rotzani. That's not an appropriate attitude. You know, Rabbeinu HaKadosh in the first mission, the second parak of Ovah says, "Ezi derech sheyivra lo adam shei tiferes lo." It should be a tiferes to the person, tiferes lo min adam. And many of the Rishonim learned that this is mitzvot. The mitzvot is a tiferes min adam. The Rabbeinu Yonah at the beginning of the second parak of Ovah says that the mitzvot are tiferes ha'mitis shel adam. This is the true glory and splendor of man. This is what we desire. If only we would view the Torah and the mitzvahs as something natural. But again, we can't do that, with the exception of two mitzvahs, because we live in the post, or you know, the post Adam Arishon period, or if you want to call it the pre-Gan Eden period. But the ultimate goal is to experience the mitzvahs as something that's so much part of us. It's like the air we breathe. It's natural. It's no different than Achil Shtil Lekim Aguf. And I believe, you know, the Ramban in last week's parish, if I could turn the clock back a little, he speaks about the fact that the Avos were Mekayim the Mitzvahs Kodem Shenitnu, but only in Eretz Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw to it that Rachel would pass on when Yaakov entered into Eretz Yisrael, so that he shouldn't be married to two sisters. Because the Avos from Mekayim call it Torah Kulo Kom Shenitnu, but says the Ramban, only in Eretz Yisrael. So I saw in the Kovitz Shiurim of Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, at the end of Masechta Kiddushin, he makes reference to this Ramban, the Ramban in Achrei Mos, and he claims that the only way of explaining the Ramban is by breaking down mitzvos into two dimensions. One dimension of the mitzvah is the tam ha-mitzvah, the reason for the mitzvah, the goal, the purpose. And the other is the mitzvah itself, the fact that God commanded me. That makes it into a mitzvah. He says that when the avos were mekayim kol torah kulo kom shenitna, that was a kiyum of mitzvos based on the time of the mitzvah. The second dimension, namely, I fulfill the mitzvah because God commanded me, because of the divine mandate, that doesn't exist yet. That doesn't emerge until after the Torah is given at Har Sinai. So what does it mean, says Rabbi Chanan, that the Avos, according to Chazal, were mekayim the mitzvahs kodesh shenitnu? It could only mean the first dimension, namely the Tana mitzvahs. They understood with their great wisdom and insight what the purpose of each mitzvah is, and they implemented the mitzvah b'toras Tama mitzvah. But Rabbi Elchanan doesn't explain why does the Ramban insist that the others were Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula only in Eretz Yisrael? I don't understand. I tried to read Rabbi Elchanan very carefully, and I couldn't find an answer to that question. But Lefianius Daiti, you know, the Mabul, the Sephardim was famous for saying that the Mabul affected the entire universe and polluted it, except for Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael wasn't affected, impacted by the Mabul. Therefore, Avir Eretz Yisrael mocked him. You know, what it means is that in the original plan, every part of the globe could lend itself to that experience, as the Dubna Magid would present it, of a natural experience. But things changed. But Eretz Yisrael somehow remains within that geder of mitzvahs being natural. You know, the Rishonim talk about mitzvahs sichlius, you know, the rational mitzvahs. That's what Eretz Yisrael represents, the atmosphere of Eretz Yisrael, so unique. It's so suffused with a natural sense of Gan Eden, if you will, of closeness to Shechina. Eretz Yisrael is so unique because it has that flavor. When a Jew finds himself in Eretz Yisrael, he's got to do the mitzvahs not only because we were commanded to do them, but also because it's natural. And there's no steering, there's no conflict. We understand the Tama mitzvahs, and in this particular milieu, in this particular environment, you know, there's a desire and a need, we call it existential, to fulfill the mitzvahs. The Ramban, in many places, including Achrimos, says that in Chutz Laaretz we only do mitzvahs as preparation. I think what he means is, we're doing mitzvahs in Chutz Laaretz, but they're sort of forced upon us. In Chutz Laaretz it's a kfiyah, it's a mandate, it's a divine command that comes sort of external to man. But the real mitzvah is when we feel the natural gravitational pull from within to the mitzvah, when we feel the geshmak of the mitzvah, because this is the air we breathe, ki heim chayim. So I would like to just end the shiur by asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yi Ratzon, that as we get closer and closer to Yom Matan Torah, we should understand and appreciate that the Yom Matan Torah is the completion of the Bria. As the Netziv's introduction to Shmos, Yom Matan Torah is the Chol HaMoed of Pesach, meaning that the idea of Chayrus is sort of linked to the Matan Torah. It's incomplete. It's sort of suspended in air till we get to the Matan Torah. Yirotzo, maybe be His will that we should experience Matan Torah as true Bnei Chorin, appreciate the Torah, love it, get the geshmak from it. Drachei Adachi Noam v'Chol Nesivos says Shalom. And we should learn the lessons of Nebuchadnezzar, the Avelus of these days of Chol HaMoed, as Chachamim imposed it upon it, that we should realize that Midos Tovos and Anhagas Tovos and Beinonim L'Chavero is the prerequisite for receiving the Torah. And in that way, our Simcha of Yom Chasunoso, which Chazal say is the day of Matan Torah, it's the Chasun between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will generate for each and every one of us as individuals and for Klal Yisrael as a community, a tremendous marriage, intimacy, relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kein Yiratzon. Amen.